Abbott!
Thank you, brother. It's good to see you.
That was amazing, wasn't it?
Thank you for
good
coming.
Time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome. Really welcome.
Thank you, thank you. Oh, mercy. That's quite an intro there. We were, just to let you, we were over in the student center sharing how our students saw God at work this week, and it kind of got carried away, but it was great to see, hear how the Lord's working in their life and in different ways. And Tim will be sharing with you later on just some ministry stuff that happened yesterday in our city, around the inner city, and prayer walks and stuff for widows in the inner city that the youth did and some of the parents. So we're thankful that the Lord is at work in those ways. And that was part of what we were sharing this morning. Just to make note, there's boxes around the sanctuary, around all the education wings and everything, that we're taking up food for Hope for the Inner City for Christmas. And you can bring any non-perishable goods, canned items, boxed items, and fill those boxes up till they're overflowing. They'll be sent to Hope for the Inner City for them to have those food and perishable items for Christmas. And it's any indication, I was riding along with a girl yesterday who was in my group. We mixed our groups. A girl from Brainerd High School who just said, "You know, I'm not going to have a Christmas this year." And I said, "Really?" And I said, "How many times does that happen in your life?" And she said, "It happens a lot. I think there's been 4 times in my life where I haven't had anything at Christmas." And so just by giving of food items for the Christmas, we don't realize what our world is like just around us. So I encourage you to do that. Also, encourage you, a Christmas Eve service will be a little bit different this year. I invite you and your families and your grandchildren, your neighbors to come. Our children will be leading part of that Christmas Eve service in lessons and carols. So I invite you to come be a part of that Christmas Eve service. And we invite you back tonight. There's a few tickets left. If you need those, you can see Kelly at the end of the worship service for... Do what? They're all gone. So if you don't have a ticket, show up. We'll try to cram you in. We don't want you to not come because you don't have a ticket. So I might get in trouble for saying that. Yeah, some at the door if you have extras. So we encourage you to come to be a part of it and to hear what the Lord will teach us in the gospel through music in our choir tonight. So this morning we celebrate... we begin the Christmas season by celebrating that, and I want us to remember, though, in the midst of the Christmas season, that part of our worship here at First Pres is that we serve a living God who came in the flesh, and we celebrate that every Sunday morning. Christmas is great because it focuses our attention on the incarnation, but we celebrate the incarnation every day of our lives, so... this morning, to get us started on our Advent candle lighting, are Patrick and Mary Catherine Fries and their daughter Sydney.
As we light this first candle, we begin the season of Advent. In this moment, we slow our hearts and minds and ready our spirit for celebration of Christ's birth. This first candle is the candle of hope. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn.
Let us pray. Father, as we prepare to celebrate Christmas, help us to slow down. Remind us daily that only you can truly satisfy the longings of our hearts. Father, we light this candle of hope to thank you for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. We who have sat in darkness have seen a great light, the light of Jesus Christ, our salvation and our hope. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name, because he lives and reigns with you in your glory and in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Let's prepare our hearts to worship our Lord.
Would you please stand for our call to worship? If you're a visitor here, you'll know, or you'll need to know, and have a bulletin. It'll help you along in our worship. We do celebrate the Lord and that he has come and that he will return for his people. From Colossians chapter 1, this focus on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation.
In heaven and on earth, visible and indivisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him.
And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Come, thou Lord.
Emmanuel, Lord of might, Rod of Jesse, Day spring from on high, Key of David, come and open wide our hearts that we, your people, would manifest the glory of the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Jesus Christ himself in our hearts this day for your glory and for our good. We make our morning prayer a prayer of adoration. Come, Lord Christ, as we wait for your return. May you find us worshiping you when you do return. We love you, Lord, and we look so forward to this time of serving you by worshiping you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue our service of worship, we make our affirmation of faith. The Old Testament scriptures, as were read from Isaiah, anticipated the first coming of Christ. The word Advent means arrival or coming. The Lord did come in the flesh, and so we celebrate this Christmas season. We celebrate his coming. But for those of us who live in this day, we anticipate his second coming, his return. And so his incarnation and then his return are the frame of our existence. And so it's with hopeful, expectant hearts we look to the Lord. This passage from Colossians allows us to lift our eyes and see the glory of God and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ himself as this explains to us the work of Christ. Would you join me in this affirmation of faith, saying, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." You may be seated. Our confession of faith is an adaptation of a beautiful prayer written in a little book called The Valley of Vision, which I recommend to you. And in light of our passage, I've adapted this just a bit that we would bring our hearts before the Lord. We would honestly recognize our sinful condition. Old Testament Israel was an idolatrous people, and when they saw their sin, often they did not repent. They did not acknowledge their sin before the Lord. They placed their hope in alliances between other nations. They placed their hope for economic security outside of the Lord. I find that even this day, we in our congregation are tempted to share those idolatrous patterns with our, if you will, older brothers and sisters from the Old Testament. So I would ask you to humbly join with me in saying words that many of Israel never said. May we, as spiritual Israel, join our hearts together and confess, saying, "Be merciful to me, a sinner. This I am by nature and practice. This your word proclaims me to be, and this I know myself to be. Yet you have not left me to despair in my sins. I have all the assurance I need because of you, O God. There is plenteous redemption through Jesus Christ." Take these moments of silence and privately confess your sins to the Lord.
hear these words of assurance. Who has believed what he have heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Lord, hear us now as you taught your disciples to pray, saying the Lord's Prayer together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Greet one another this morning in the name of Jesus. This morning we go to the Lord in prayer, and just wanted to let you know that sometimes preachers too just don't know what to pray. We're not immune from that, and I want to share with you, oftentimes when that happens in my life, I go to something like the Valley of Vision, the Psalms, maybe a prayer in God's Word that helps guide that. And this morning, I've always been thankful for the prayers in Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians that Paul gives of thanksgiving for his people, and those prayers. And Tim's actually going to read the one in Colossians this morning, as it's where he's preaching from. And so I wanted to read the one from Ephesians and kind of use it as our guide to pray this morning. Paul says, "The Lord, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glories, may he give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe." Let's pray together. Lord, we do praise you this morning. You are the Father of all glory. Lord, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Lord, we pray that you would receive glory from our lives. We pray that you would do that in our individual families. We pray that for individual college students as they take finals this week, and high school and middle school students as they take their finals coming up. Pray that glory would be given to you and not to themselves. Lord, we pray that glory would be given to you from this church, not for the building up of the kingdom of First Presbyterian, not for building up of the kingdom of Robert Rowe, Tim Tinsley, Chris Ehlers, Jerry Harwood, for the building up of the kingdom of light, for the kingdom of peace, for the kingdom that takes away all darkness. We pray for the kingdom of God to be built up. And we ask you for a spirit of wisdom, because, Lord, we're prone to build up our own little kingdoms. We pray for a spirit of revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that our eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, that you may grant to us a hope to which we have been called to, that we may know the riches of His glorious inheritance that has been given to us, the saints. Oh, what greatness and what rich blessings you have given us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray this morning for those in the inner city who we worked with this weekend. Lord, we pray that you would bring a peace to their lives. Lord, that in some ways you would bring an emptiness and a void that could only be filled with the gospel, and that they would come to that realization. Pray that you give us wisdom and knowledge of, as a church and as a people, how to reach them, how to encourage them, and how to walk alongside them. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that you place before us, because the gospel has transformed us and it's oozing out of us, and we can't help but let it come out. And I pray that you would continue to do that here. Lord, we pray for this season, this Christmas season that you've given us, that we would indeed be ones who would glorify and magnify the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, thank you that you put on flesh and you tabernacled among us. You dwelt among us in the flesh. So that, Lord, no longer do we say prayers and wonder if you understand what we're struggling with, but you, Lord, lived in our shoes. You put on our flesh, and you, Lord, sympathize with our weaknesses, and you intercede for us continually. Lord, I personally lift up the Neff family to you, as they will be moving in a couple weeks. We pray for your guidance and your wisdom and your protection upon this family. Lord, give them great hope that the church is universal and that your church is far and wide across this world. May you go and guide them and protect them, we pray. We pray now that you bless these tithes and these offerings, Lord, that you would bring them into the storehouse, that ministry and the gospel may reach the city walls and beyond. Give us your grace, we pray, that we may bring glory to you in this day, in this year, in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
See the great stars, the people who walk in darkness.
Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Our scripture lesson today is found in the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 1, that's page 983 if you're using a pew Bible. And it's toward the back if you're using your own Bible. We're in Colossians 1 in particular because the ministry of our choir is one of bringing light into darkness. And the theme of the concert last night and this evening is this theme of light and darkness. And so the Lord has led me to preach on that. So Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Well, yesterday was a special day. We were invited to come along and join some of our brothers and sisters in the inner city on a prayer walk. You'll notice the opening of this text that Paul is saying, we've not ceased to pray for you. And our brothers and sisters in Christ who live in a particular part of our city, I don't know if you're aware, but there's an area of our city called Churchville or Churchville. And Churchville has had quite a few murders in the past 18 months, if I'm not mistaken, 9 people have been shot and killed. It's just down the street here. If you go up 3rd to Orchard Knob and then turn to your left, You'll find this area, and our brothers and sisters asked if we would come and join them, and that we would walk through their part of town, and that we would pray. And so we said yes, and quite a number of you were there, so thank you for coming. And our youth group also partnered with other youth groups around the city and did work in the inner city. And so as we walked through the streets, we found poverty. We found hopelessness. We found sadness. But we had the privilege of standing together as brothers and sisters in Christ, different ethnic groups, some of my dear black brothers and sisters who've become good friends of mine here in the last 3 years. We walked together and we hugged and we kissed and we held hands and we prayed together, and we would maybe find a particular child and pray over that child, or we'd stand in front of a home and we would all say prayers together over that particular home. We had the opportunity to bring the light. You see, murder is a manifestation of the kingdom of darkness. And life is a manifestation of the kingdom of light. If you go all the way back in the Bible, you'll find the struggle of Cain and Abel. This murder was not something that's honoring to the Lord. It is a work of the kingdom of darkness. Even go back a little more into Genesis chapter 3 and recognize that this seed of the woman will conquer the seed of the serpent. This kingdom of light and this kingdom of darkness. You see, in our world, there are only two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of light, where our King Jesus is the leader, the authority, and then the kingdom of darkness. God has called First Presbyterian Church to be a manifestation of the kingdom of light. And so when we walk through that neighborhood where 9 of our fellow citizens have been shot dead in the past 18 months, we want to bring a manifestation of the kingdom of light in the midst of the kingdom of darkness. And so we find ourselves here in Colossians, kind of slid right up next our friends from Colossae, who are struggling with the idea of this kingdom of light and this kingdom of darkness, and how their minds have been enlightened, and now they see and they think differently. I want to unpack this passage by simply focusing our attention on 3 verbs. 3 simple verbs within the text. And I would like to draw your attention, if I could, to verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has, and here's the first verb, qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has, and here's the second verb, delivered us from the domain of darkness. And here's the third verb, transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Now, these 3 verbs have a couple things in common. One, they're past tense verbs. In fact, in the Greek text, they're aorist verbs. And what that means is that it's a completed action. And so when you think of the idea of qualified, and you think of the idea of delivered, and the idea of transferred, they are completed actions which took place in the past. And they took place outside of an individual, and then were pushed and pressed down into their lives. So this idea, and let's take the first verb, and you'll begin to get the sense of what the apostle is saying, qualified. It's something that has already taken place. It's a completed action. And it's something that God does on His people. So God qualified His people. Let me give you some synonyms for this word qualified. to be made sufficient, to have enough, to have a considerable quantity, to be made competent, to fit, to be made fit, to have a score which qualifies you for entrance, to be credentialed, to reach a certain standard, to be given a title, to be made suitable, to be worthy, acceptable. Jesus uses this term, or Matthew uses this term, speaking of Jesus in Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. But the centurion replied, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have come under you. I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. But only say the word, and my servant will be healed." This pagan centurion recognizes that he's not worthy, but in spite of his unworthiness, God can act for him on his behalf. It's the idea of being qualified even though we are unworthy. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who's one of my favorite preachers, that Baptist who preached in London, he uses the term meet, M-E-E-T, in collation with the idea of qualified or in place of. He said this, "Made meet or made qualified for the inheritance of the saints in light, the true believer is fit for heaven. He's qualified. He's meet to be a partaker of the inheritance." And that now, at this very moment, what does this mean? Does it mean that the believer is perfect? That he's free from sin? No, my brethren. Where shall you ever find such perfection in this world? If no man can be a believer but the perfect man, then what has the perfect man to believe? Could he not walk by sight? When he's perfect, he may cease to be a believer. No, my brethren. This qualification which takes place isn't that we are made to be perfectly righteous, really perfectly righteous in every thought, word, and deed, but that we are qualified through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so though we are unqualified in our own work, we are qualified through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spurgeon goes on to use an example of a woman who is engaged to be married, and she's being fitted for her wedding gown. And so she's fit and she's engaged, but she's not yet wed. And I think in my brother's sanctified mind, he's realizing that that's a wonderful picture of the church. The work of Christ is accomplished. We are engaged. We are being fit, if you will, for our gowns. But the kingdom has not fully been consummated, and it will not be until Christ returns. You know that moment when a girl is engaged and somehow her left hand becomes prominent in the conversation? It's like, "How are you today?" "Fine, yes, really, okay, all right." You know, and there's this wiggle of the diamond, right? There's this sense. There's this glorious time between engagement and marriage. Many times it's the happiest time for the bride. But this moment of hope, I've found my shining knight. Right? This idea of I'm a damsel in distress, and in has ridden my deliverer, my prince, and he is going to find me qualified, and he's going to love me, and I'm going to love him. And hopefully, upon marriage, all that is realized and made manifest, even beyond her wildest dreams. And so this idea of being made qualified is the idea that God has made us fit to be His bride. It's a beautiful thought. A child conceived in the womb is sufficiently a human being. The child doesn't have to be born in order to be a human being. The child has all the necessary qualifications knit together in his or her mother's womb. It's a human being. That's a child in a mother's womb. And then the child's born. And the child, again, is made manifest that they are fit, they are sufficient, they're qualified, they're a human being. They've got their little hands and feet and ears and nose. Right? Surely they're going to grow. Surely they're going to grow in their understanding. When a young child is born, as they grow along, their eyesight becomes more clear and they're able to focus more clearly. They can hear grandmother or grandfather's voice and they found him. You see, for those of us, we are qualified. Past tense, the work of Christ has been effective, efficacious for His people. But we're going to continue to grow, and we're going to continue to grow in our understanding. So first of all, let me bring to your attention the idea that we're qualified. Secondly, the verb is to be delivered. Remember, past tense, completed, acted upon. We've been delivered. In the Nordic language, it means to guard, to protect, to put a circle of stones around. It's the idea of God saving His people, God rescuing His people, God taking His people from the grips of danger and freeing them, releasing them. It's this work of a God who's outside of us, who works on our behalf and then applies to us His victorious reign. It's this work of guarding His people. This delivering is the work of God. Even in the Lord's Prayer, we say, deliver us from evil. It is, once again, this idea of being delivered from the power of darkness. I've been rolling the idea for about a month around in my mind, the concept of being under the power of darkness. Now, I know that you personally know what it's like to be under the power of darkness. We were all under the power of darkness. We were blind to our blindness. We could not understand. We were deaf to the cries of the friends around us. There's this moral darkness. Where the mind of the sinner has been so captivated by the sin, and we are so governed by our sin nature that we're void of judgment. We don't understand. We're ignorant. You know, over the years, I've done a lot of prison ministry, and I'm so thankful for the prison ministry of this church at Walker State with the men, and hopefully, Lord willing, some of the women will be able to be involved here locally with some of the women who are seeking to transition from prison to a more normal, suitable life for them. But over the years of working in prison, I've heard a particular phrase, and a lot of times the guys will see somebody who's just an evil, dark, mean person, and they say, he's ignorant. They're like, yeah, he's ignorant. I go, what's up with him? He's ignorant. What do they mean by that? Well, they mean a couple things. First of all, they mean he doesn't know, or they mean he's stupid. What do you mean stupid? He's in a stupor. He's in a stupor in the kingdom of darkness. He's wandering along. He's ignorant. Another way of thinking of ignorant is, and I've learned this from the prisoners over the years, is they've said, he's ignorant, and what they mean is, he doesn't know another way to live. You see, he has never been presented another option other than, when somebody offends you, you shoot them. When someone, and here's another key word in prison, when someone disrespects you, it's a lot about respect. When someone disrespects you, you step up and you seek to earn that respect in ways that are unacceptable. And so those folks are known as being ignorant because they haven't learned a new way. I saw it yesterday. My daughter and I were walking through the streets with our friends and we were praying. And three drunk men walk up. It must have been 10:30, maybe 11. And one of the guys has a pit bull on a leash in one hand and a tall boy, which is basically a huge can of beer for those of you who don't know what a tall boy is. So he's got a pit bull on a leash and he's pretty much through with a tall boy. And he's in a stupor. He's clouded. He's under the control of the kingdom of darkness. And he begins to explain to us how his pit bull is his buddy, is how it's his best friend. And in order to show that his pit bull's a buddy, he throws the leash down. Now, when you've got a drunk man who just let the weapon go, and I'm standing here with my baby girl, we got a problem, right? Because that's the reality of the kingdom of darkness that's looking to invade the space of a messenger of the kingdom of light. So we prayed over that man. And what was ironic is he said, "This dog is my buddy. I can let the leash go and he'll just stay with me." And the dog took off running. I think the dog maybe had more sense than that man did. But now that's sad, right? But now that's sad, right? That man lives in the kingdom of darkness. And he needs to hear at least three words that I know of. He needs to hear from the messenger of light. And he needs to hear past tense completed words of a work of God on his behalf, like a word like delivered. And somehow the Spirit of God has to work in him to awaken him. I wrote down what I believe in my semi-sanctified mind, the idea of the way a sinner thinks. There's a joy of curiosity in sin. The first stage that ends up with a person in a manifestation of the darkness of their stupor is there's a curious joy in sin. They're invited to do something. And you know what? It looks great. It looks fun. You know exactly of what I speak if you're alive. Because we're each sinners. And so you know that temptation comes to you and it presents itself as something that's a bit exciting. It's alluring. It creates this aliveness in your sin nature that seeks to identify with that particular idolatrous lifestyle. In your curiosity, you pursue it. And as you pursue it, you come underneath its power. And as you move out of the idea of the joy of the sin pattern, you come underneath the idea that you're drowsy. You become stupid, if you will. You become controlled by your ignorance of what is the right way to live, by what is the wrong way to live. And you become sleepy in that pattern of sin. And you become deaf to the cries of those who love you and care about you. And you lose the power of reason. Do you know, as I walked through the city yesterday, I felt an overwhelming sense that we've had a loss of common sense. There's a stupidity, an ignorance that has fallen upon the American people because we've believed a lie to the point that we've been stupefied. We walk in a stupor and we can't hear. And when people speak to us, we either can't hear them or we don't believe what they're saying. And our culture has slowly degenerated into these deaf, stupefied people who live under the kingdom of darkness. And they need to be delivered. And deliverance is only through the work of God. But God uses his people. When our choir sings tonight and our orchestra plays, they are a manifestation of the kingdom of light. When you go to the prison ministry and you step into those walls and behind that barbed wire, you are an extension and a reality of the kingdom of light, penetrating darkness. When you go on foreign missions around the world, you go to a country like Haiti or the Dominican Republic or China, it's the same. There's this stupefying spirit of darkness. May God help us as the people of God to manifest the light of his kingdom. And the last verb is the verb transferred. The verb also, and I try to give you synonyms for these to kind of help you wear it a little bit. The idea of being transferred also means to be transplanted or to be translated. It means to transfer citizenship. When we moved from Texas to Tennessee, we transferred the titles of our cars. Right? We had to register our property in this state. When the Lord Jesus Christ translates us, he translates us or transfers our citizenship from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. That is a work that is a completed past tense event that is done on our behalf outside of us and then is applied to us. We're translated to the kingdom of his dear son. We're made saints of this inheritance. What's that mean? It means, well, we get a part of the inheritance. We get a section of the inheritance. One of those lots is mine. I'm a saint. What's that mean? I'm a set apart one. It's the same Greek word for sanctified, to be made holy. We walk toward heaven, hopefully reflecting more and more the light of God. Why? Because we've been translated. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Therefore, it's natural for someone who is a citizen of the kingdom of light to manifest light. So wherever you go today, you are an instrument of the Holy Spirit to bring the light to a dark world. Because you're a citizen of the King Jesus, the King of Light. He's penetrated the darkness. The darkness has set over the people. It's on our city. It's on our people. They must be translated. I think the greatest biblical example of this is the children of Israel. The children of Israel were in captivity in Egypt. And then God translated him. He didn't just simply change all their surroundings. He took those people and he translated them out of Egypt into Canaan. And he carried them along. And they were to take light into the darkness of Canaan. And many of them in Canaan connected themselves with the idols of Canaan to the degree that they were carried away first by captivity to false worship, but then even on to the Babylonians themselves. So, people of God, we live at a time where if you are a member of the kingdom, you have been delivered out of, and you have been translated into, and you have been qualified by the work of Christ. So we share in this inheritance of the kingdom of light. And God has left us here to be a manifestation of the light of God. And so when you're decorating your home, and you're lighting your tree, and not all the lights are twinkling, and you don't know whether to throw the light strand down and jump up and down on it, or to simply find the one bad bulb out of the 695 bulbs. We're called to go into the kingdom of darkness and to be a light. Now, I believe that in this building right now, there's a bright light because we're all gathered together. And then as you step out those doors into this glorious day, by the way, thank you, Lord, for this glorious day. But as we step out, we're going to step out into a world of darkness. And you must know that if you've been translated and you've been delivered and you've been qualified, you will manifest the characteristics of a citizen of the kingdom of light. In fact, you can't help yourself. Because the Spirit's presence in you will seek to bring honor to Jesus Christ in all we say and do. That is why when our families finally do gather together to decorate the Christmas tree, we're probably going to have a fight. Someone's feelings are going to get hurt. Someone's not going to do it quite right. It's just the way the kingdom of darkness that still remains in this different sin nature that we each carry will seek to manifest itself to destroy the light, to short-circuit it, to be that little bulb that ruins the bright light of all the other bulbs. And so go, be a light in our world. Manifest the reality that you are a citizen of the kingdom of light, who has been qualified, delivered, and transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. May God have mercy on our church, on our city, and on our country. As we walked through those streets, we saw a lot of single mommies. They were hurting, and their eyes were hollowed with sadness, surrounded by their babies. In some ways, they were probably happy to be rid of the man. They had probably enjoyed about all of him they could stand. But now, what are they going to do? Now, what are they going to do? They need messengers of light. Not that we understand all the socioeconomic intricacies of another culture or another situation, but we are messengers of light. The hope is in Christ, not in First Presbyterian Church. The hope is in Christ, not in any one of us as individuals. We simply are messengers of the one who has qualified, delivered, and transferred his people from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Go, shine. Let's pray. Father, you are the one who qualified us, delivered us, and transferred us through the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, applied to us in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, you are now with us until Jesus returns, until he comes back again. Lord, in this Advent season, I pray that those who do not know you would be translated, delivered, and qualified from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light through Jesus Christ. Maybe even this morning, Holy Spirit, you've done that for someone in our midst. Lord, I pray for those of us who know you that we would be further convinced that we are citizens of the kingdom of light, even our King Jesus. We make our prayer in your name, Jesus. And all God's people said together, amen. Would you please stand for the benediction and our closing hymn? Mm-mm. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his light to shine on you and through you. And Lord, may you lift up your countenance upon us and give you your peace both now and in the life everlasting. Amen.